Good morning, everybody. Right, Parshas Matzeh Matzeh. So I'd like to take a look at a particular mitzvah, which, according to some, is recorded in this week's Parsha. So let's take a look on the sheet. The first thing on the sheet is this pasuk, which is Parshas Matzeh. Here's the number Gimel, pasuk Nun Gimel. By Rashten Esarit.
Double Parsha,
yes, the longest Parsha in the Torah. Put Matthew together from the longest verse of Torah. Farashem etzorit, you should take possession of the land, v'yishavtem bo, and dwell in it. Ki lochem nosati etzorit, loreshet oifo. Because to you I have given this land, loreshet oifo, to inherit it. So,
they're only together except for
Matthew, yeah, very, very, very rare that they come separate, yeah. So, said Rashi on this pasuk, there are two stages here in the pasuk. By Rashi Metzorit, you'll take possession of the land, be shat tembo, and you should, and dwell it, live in it. So, says Rashi, by Rashi Metzorit, by Rashi Oisom Yoshvel, take possession of it from the hands of those who currently live there, the evil nations, the Kanani, and all their fellows, but all be shat tembo. And then you will be able to live there. Tuchlu lehit kayembo. You will be able to live there a permanent type of living. But however, as you know, the Torah writes in so many places that if we don't get rid of the evildoers of the sinners who are in Eretz Yisrael, so we're not going to be able to live there the spiritual life we're supposed to live, and then we know what follows. But if you're not going to do that, lehituchlu lehit kayembo, you will not be able to live there, a permanent type of living.
Why can't he give a land that was just empty, ready to go? Here is the key, turn on, and you go back, you have to throw the Canania, we have to make a place up, remove this, or pull the apple as well, all the things.
I don't know. Everything is
real.
That's off the top of my head. I don't know. Could think of a practical reason. Could be a practical reason, right? Imagine going to a land that's completely undeveloped, that's empty, that there's nothing there, there's no roads, there's no buildings, there's no.
But for that reason,
I'm just giving a practical reason. There could be, surely maybe deeper reasons of deeper significance.
Right.
First thing that came into my head.
I seem to remember a source that said that they have no right being there in the first place.
Well, that's how Rashi says right at the beginning of the Torah. The Rashi says. That it was given originally.
The Italian came in and covered
all
the giants.
I don't know, there were still giants there now, right? We find that the Moroccan came and there were.
There must be a
lot of that. They got rid of the majority of them. And we also find that these Kanani took over the land from the B'nai Shem. And we find that right at the beginning of Parshas Lechlecha Vayera. And really, I'll be sure I'll descend it from the B'nai Sheikh, so it's like returning to the original owner. But a question to ponder through my eye, and I'm not sure.
I was just wondering from whose perspective it is to get used to. It's never easy to go and serve Hashem.
Saying that there's a certain message, so if you want to purify yourself from it, it's also a muscle to a person who's living with it, so it has to distance himself from bad influences, etc., etc. Fight the evil inclination, the hood. Could be. There are many, many aspects of it. So Rashi is looking at this pasuk in the sense of being a type of havtah, a sort of promise, an assurance. If you're going to go into them, then you will be able to live there. However, let's take a look at the pirush of the Ramban over here, a very famous and fundamental Ramban. He quotes the pasuk by Rashi et Zoritz v'shavtem bo ki lochem nosati et Zoritz floreshes oitzah. Al da'ati, in my opinion, reading the pasuk unlike Rashi, zu mitzvah asehi, the second clause of the pasuk, v'yishavtem bo, you should live in it, these words are ikma. They're not a type of promise that if you get rid of the people in the land, then you'll be able to settle there, you'll be able to have a permanent type of living. It is a mitzvah. You should live there. Yisabe Oitzom says the Ramban, in this pasuk we are commanded, she yeshu ba'aretz, to settle in this land, the yeshu Oitzom, and inherit it. To whom not Malayim for Hashem has given it to them, and not, chas v'shalom, to despise and look down upon the Nachlat Hashem, the gift of Hashem, and think to settle or to live elsewhere. That which Chazal, in so many sources, very much praise the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And even mentioned the Otter Lotis, the men of the fact that Chazal mentioned that one who has settled in Eretz Yisrael should not leave there. And the Yodunu Kumeiredes, another point that Chazal gives the din of a Meiredes, a wife who is rebellious and will not go along with the wishes of her husband. If you have a husband who wishes to leave Chutzlaret and settle in Eretz Yisrael, and the wife does not wish to do so, she has the particular halakha of Moiredes, of one who rebels and then with various repercussions, he's not entitled to her ksuba, I think. But saying, this is actually directly referring to somebody who is in Chutzlaret and wishes to move to Eretz Yisrael. But the stuff of it applies nowadays in this book in their time, so we have to look at this time too. But hey, ish, and similarly a man who doesn't wish to move. Now where does all this come from? So the Ramban, all these commands about the great importance attached to Eretz Yisrael, that one is there shouldn't leave it, and a husband and wife can oblige one the other to move there, etc. The Khan Nitztavinu B'mitzvah. Where does all this come from? Where will we find this mitzvah in the Torah? So the Ramban, it is in these words here. Yishavtem bo. Ke'apotuk hazeh, he mitzvah aseh. Because this posuk is a positive command to live in it. Avol Rashi Pirish, Rashi however learns, Vayirashtem esar, it's a different pshat as we just read. Vayirashtem oisim yishvel, take possession of it from the hand of those who live there. Og v'yishavtem bo tuflu le'izkayim bo, then you will be able to live there permanently. Din lav lo tuflu le'izkayim. And if not, then not. Rashi is not taking this topic at least as being a source for the mitzvah per se. But to the Rabbah, that which we have explained, this is the main and true pshat. So that is the opinion of the Rambam over here, that there is a mitzvah per se, and it is recorded in these words here, the Yishavtem bo, to dwell in it. Now let's take a further look at another source from the Rambam. We know that the Rambam, Maimonides, he authored a work called Sefer HaMitzvot. That way he goes through the Torah in a similar sort of style to the Sefer HaKinuch that maybe we're more familiar with, where he goes through the 613 mitzvahs and recalls what is a mitzvah saying, what is a mitzvah loisah saying, etc. That is the work of the Rambam, Maimonides. Now the Rambam, Nachmanides, he wrote on this work of the Rambam a number of criticisms, we call it. He wrote a number of hasogos. He wrote comments on the work of the Rambam, including a number of mitzvahs which, in his opinion, the Rambam, so to speak, forgot. It is called the list of the shikshat ha'asim, the shikshat ha'lahim. The Rambam will make a little list at the back of the book, at the back of the Sefer Mitzvahs. There is a list written by the Rambam of the mitzvahs which the Rambam, in his opinion, forgot.
Well, there's some sort of same.
Right, well, as you rightly say, there's some sort of the same, because everybody is coming off the same Chazal, and there are 613 mitzvahs. So he cancels some other. Generally speaking, cancelling doesn't have so much practical halakhic ramification because generally it's just a technical question of how to number them. So those who, let's say, when the Rambam cancels out some of the Rambam, they'll say, well, you know what, these are included, they're actually just a subcategory of some other mitzvah or something like that. It generally just affects the way that you count, but not actual practical halacha, because they'll just say, well, that mitzvah which you counted as well is really a subcategory of something else. Fine. So in this list, I think the fourth or fifth one on the list is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which the Rambam, in his list of the mitzvahs, does not list anywhere a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. In the Rambam, in the list of the Sefer Mitzvahs, one will not find it. There's any one of these 613 mitzvahs, it is not there. So comes along the Rambam, and he says to the Rambam, I'm not sure. He generally takes note of both the opinions of the Rambam and the Rambam, so maybe he'll even mention it and say that it's, you know. following on that point, or something, I'm not sure. I didn't actually look. I want to try looking in the Chinuch on this week's parsha and see if it's there. So the Rambam over here makes note of this point that the Rambam didn't mention it, and in his opinion, the opinion of the Rambam himself, it is indeed a mitzvah tzaveh, and he adds a further point. In Cain, in mitzvah tzaveh levoi. Having said this, it is a mitzvah tzaveh, on the basis of what the Rambam brought before that, he says that it is a mitzvah tzaveh levoi, for all generations. Meaning not just in the time, let's say, that the Beit HaMikdash was standing, in the time that the majority of Am Yisrael, you know, Israel. It is a binding mitzvah for all generations. But think of this mandol, even in the times of Golus, Kyodua, the Talmud from Kremit Tarek, this mitzvah is still around. But Lashon Sifri, Maitzev Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, there was a story with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Rabbi Matthew ben Korah, Rabbi Hanani ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lachman, showing ripped from the footlords. They were traveling to Kuthor. The Yehudim Tlapkiel, they arrived in a certain big square. The Zokhret Eretz Yisrael, and they recalled Eretz Yisrael, the Zokhret Enen, the Zolgudim was dead, and they began to cry, the Korah was dead. The Korah of Amikra is there, the Yerishkov Yoshav Kobol. There is a mitzvah to live there. Shema Salat is over Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, Shkulot Keneged Kalamitzvah Shabbatar. And this was even at the time of Golos, presumably they had some oinus why they had to leave. And the Rabban shows us from this, amongst other sources, why were they so bizarre? Because this mitzvah applies nowadays too. And even, yes, tremendous. There's a Chazal, he's quoting the Chazal. Well, there's a number of mitzvahs on which Chazal gives this type of tremendous, I believe. You know, Tiflis is one of them, Shabbos. And Yeshiva is also attached.
People should think this thing, whatever you want to
be able to. You have to be very careful how you take this, right. this concept. Oh, no, you know, it could be on the contrary. If one comes down to Israel and one doesn't behave in a way that's appropriate to Israel, it could be, you know, it's sort of work. You know, the Malamud. Malamud.
Something going on there. It's not done in
the
practice. It's only
worked
really properly when you're here.
Right, there's a very famous Rambam, right, exactly so. There's a very famous Rambam, I'll tell you what, that explains the surprising sounding and sort of medrash of Chazal, which gives, it's too much, that's too very careful how one says it, and explains it, it gives a certain implication that the mitzvahs have less, are a lesser form of obligation or have lesser strength in chutzpah. The main cue is in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rabban explains that while most certainly one is obliged to keep mitzvahs wherever one is, but nevertheless the main effect of the mitzvahs and the main kedusha of the mitzvahs is felt more in Eretz Yisrael. Due to the fact that Eretz Yisrael, as we know, is directly under the hashkafa of the Mishmor Kuf, not like the Aroset and Chutzpah, which are under the star of that, under the star, under the malach of that. Okay, let's just mention what is the opinion of the Rambam. So why in the Rambam, I didn't put this on the sheet, but why in the Rambam is there no mention of this mitzvah? As we said, the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah, I say, nowadays as well. And there's no mention of it in the Rambam. And it's not in the list of the 613 mitzvahs. So there are some who wish to answer that the Rambam holds that this mitzvah doesn't apply to Manazeh. The spiritual of the Knesset wants to learn that the Rambam holds that it doesn't apply to Manazeh. That's how some want to learn in the opinion of the Rambam. It's not like the Rambam that we've just learned, and that's why he doesn't list it. There's not such a satisfactory chant in the Rambam, because on the contrary, the Rambam is the work who always lists all mitzvahs. As anyone will know from a bit of study of the Rambam lists all mitzvahs, whether they apply only with Mahmoud Shia, whether they apply nowadays. The Rambam doesn't make a distinction. Not like, let's say, the Shulchan Aruch, which is a work which is directed at giving us the halakhos which we require nowadays. The Rambam recalls all the mitzvahs of the Torah, irrespective of whether they apply nowadays or they don't apply nowadays. So this is not such a satisfactory pshat in the Rambam. Others explain that according to the Rambam, it is simply a matter of the numbering, as we mentioned before. The Rambam views it not as being a separate mitzvah, say, on its own, but as a subcategory of something else, perhaps a subcategory of the mitzvah of destroying the nations who are here, so it goes together with that, and destroy them so that you can live there, or subcategory maybe of something else. Right, so it's not a mitzvah to be counted on its own, but nevertheless it does apply nowadays. So those are the various opinions in the Rambam. Now, I'd like to look at one particular detail of something that was mentioned here. The Ramban, in his Pirush Al Torah, mentioned these various points that Chazal say, which he says all stem and flow from the mitzvah of Gishem Eretz Yisrael. And one of the points he mentioned was the fact that there is some prohibition, let's say, also not safe in there is some prohibition to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutzlaret. So I'd like to look a little further at some points which relate to this. This is a very big sugya. So we'll just touch on some of the Ma'ar Makomis. Anybody who is Nagel, I might pick up their own shayla. So the Rambam himself, recalls the following bit. It's based on the Gemara. Also, not say, Rambam is not blocking paper. Okay, also, not say, the Eretz Yisrael, the Kutsa Lahoret, Lahoret. It is forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Kutsa Lahoret.
What's the law mean? Assuming, never or forever?
I think at the moment it means never, meaning under no circumstances. Except for the following circumstances. Hello, only with particular exceptions. Hello, Lilma Torah, for the purpose of Torah learning. Oi, Lilma Isha, or to be Mekayim the mitzvah of getting married. Oi, La Hatzil Min Ha'akum, to save people who are in danger. But Yatzil Lord, and then having done so, when one's completed whatever needs to be done there, one returns Lord. But hey, you're saying who is Torah. And similarly, one is permitted to leave Mitzchoy for the purpose of doing business. But to settle in Kutzlaret, often. Somebody who is settled there is sorry to leave and settle in Kutzlaret is Otsur Elim Kane Kotak Shom Horov. Unless there is particular financial difficulty, which the Rambam goes on to describe. In more precise terms, what exactly it means. I don't know how you translate it in other terms, but. So, he seems to make a distinction basically between leaving in a temporary fashion, which he gives permission for a number of particular mitzvahs, and leaving permanently, which he says is forbidden unless Chodak Shom Harov, there is tremendous hardship of famine, and she describes what it is. This is the halacha. It is mentioned in a number of places in the Gemara, not as clearly as the Rambam codifies it here, but it's based on the Gemara in a number of places. And this is what the Rambam writes. Now, this prohibition, surprisingly enough, although it is based on the Gemara, does not appear openly anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. So, the whole Shulchan Aruch, from beginning to end, it does not appear. We'll never find this prohibition. Also, in lot says, we have to throw in the hook line, it doesn't appear. However, there is one place in a fairly surprising context where it does appear. it's hinted at. So let's have a look. It is to be found, surprisingly enough, in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Yeah, in the Halachos of Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, we've got a Chol HaMoed trick, or what do they have to do with Hilchos Chol HaMoed? So let's have a look. Hilchos Chol HaMoed from the Pasuk of Lamed Aleph, third thing from the bottom of the sheet. The Elu Megaltin B'moy. You know there's a prohibition on Chol HaMoed to take a haircut. It's one of the forbidden activities on Chol HaMoed. One takes a haircut before Yom Tov and not on Yom Tov. There are some people who are given particular permission to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Who are they? Mi sheyotza bebeit hashidyo. Somebody who labeled in prison. He was freed just before Yom Tov. And he did not have a chance to take a haircut before Yom Tov. You know, talking about old time prisons, there was no opportunity to take a haircut in the prison. In the prison, unfortunately, he just had to grow his hair, that's it. When he was freed on the air of Yom Tov without enough time to take a haircut before Yom Tov. So, for him, there is permission to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Just a pathetic prison. Right? We find the first thing he did when he came out of the boat, by Matum in our boat, by a gala, by a chalik simloitov, by Yom El Par. That was Rosh Hashanah, that was an interesting discussion, yeah. So So similarly, there are various other examples in Shulchan Aruch which all follow down this same theme. People who had some type of oilus that didn't allow them to have a haircut before Yom Tov. So those people who were in the situation of oilus before Yom Tov, they're permitted to take a haircut on Yom Tov. Okay. Now, one of the examples of this, the chayin habot with the dinat hayom of the chalamoy. Somebody who came from a long journey and arrived on the chalamoy. In other words, their journeys obviously were not like our journeys when we travel in a car, in a train, in an aeroplane, and within a few hours, or maximum of, you know, close to a day, we've arrived at our destination. Their journey was somewhere that they travelled with a caravan through the midbar, through through unsettled areas, and in the places where they travelled, while they were travelling, there was no opportunity to have a haircut. So somebody who was travelling on this sort of distance, long distance type of travel, and he only arrived in a mock initial on Chol HaMoed. So I suppose on Yom Tov they camped out somewhere wherever they were, in the middle of the midbar there, and then on Chol HaMoed they continue and they arrive in a mock of Yishuv. Oh, Yishuvah, Erev HaRegel, all similarly they arrived on Erev Yom Tov, but they hired a shul by Yom Tov, but it was close to the commencement of Yom Tov and there was no time to have a haircut. So this too is an example of somebody who is permitted to have a haircut on Yom Tov, because they were honest, they were not able to have the haircut before Yom Tov. Now, with one proviso, with one condition, for who? Provided, what was this journey? What was the journey? Provided the journey did not involve going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz L'Tayyip, simply for a trip, a vacation. Provided it didn't involve that. Any other trip, whatever it involves, you are on this trip, called an oinus, you only arrive on Erev Yom Tov, Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, it's called an oinus, you are allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. With one exception, where the trip was a trip from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and the purpose of the trip was only entirely L'Tayyip, to take vacation, let's say, loosely. So let's read the Mishnah Berurah over here. The Hum Shalai Yom Tov. So the Mishnah Berurah, Pirush. So may Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, if the journey was from point A to point B in Eretz Yisrael, okay, Chutz La'aretz to Chutz La'aretz, or it was a journey from point A to point B in Chutz La'aretz, as for Yotza the Tayyip, even if the journey was entirely just for leisure, she'enu dvar mitzvah, the journey was not for any mitzvah purpose, simply a dvar reshus, a matter of leisure, afilu hoki mutar lo legaleah. Nevertheless, he was on this journey, we give him permission to have this haircut on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, shall I hold away tonight and go lay out before Yom Tov, since there was no time to have the haircut before Yom Tov. Kibben, she is the also very short point. Since this journey was a journey which the Torah gives permission for, nothing wrong with this journey in principle, it's allowed to take place. Shall I also in Tov, one travels from point A to point B in Chutz La'aretz, from point A to point B in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's only for a leisure purpose, nothing wrong with that, that's okay. So then you can have your haircut on Chol HaMoed.
But if you
need to make
the
Sakrina, I mean, I thought the Mishnah wrote this, said,
you have to come early.
Okay, well, I don't think we're getting involved in that type of detail. What about if he knew in advance that this is the way it was going to work out? I think that might be a second studio on the side. It was not known in advance. I don't think in those times also it was possible to plan the journey with such precision. It was known in advance exactly when you were going to arrive back, and this is the way it worked out. However, in the one case of exception, going to Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, Eino Mutar, Ela, is only permitted in the following circumstances. Ela Beyotza La'arviyach, if one goes there for parnasa reasons. Or even to see an acquaintance who one would like to see. So who Choshev Dvar Mitzvah? That too is considered Dvar Mitzvah. Shemutah Lotteh in the Eretz Yisrael Mishvil Zeh, which one would be permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael for that purpose. Masheh Inkein L'Tayin Ba'alma. But it is not so if it is simply entirely for purposes of leisure. The Kiyagamna also Lotteh in the Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz. In this situation it is forbidden to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz, so you too will the Galea, and one is not permitted in the circumstances have it. So here is the place where we find this issue. And we also discover some very important points regarding how this din applies lamaisa. That although one is only allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for kufar for the sake of a dvar mitzvah, it appears that dvar mitzvah over here applies in its widest, broadest possible sense. And not for a very specific mitzvah, like the Rambam called that lo mitzvah lifa isha. But in halacha over here, we're seeing a much broader application of dvar mitzvah. So long as it wasn't absolutely the most extreme type of dvar rishus, simply the title, so no sort of, let's say, no really good purpose. But if you went because you wish to see somebody you haven't seen for a long time, or because you have some parnasa reason to travel there, etc., etc., all this is included in legitimate soilus, for which it is permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to the Kutzla, it doesn't really need temporary. Let's just see a little further in the poetry there. The Matzah Tashekel stresses what it means when the Mishnah is quoting Long Avram, uses this term, if one goes out laharvia, to make parnasa, let's say, useful. Make profit. Says the Matzah Tashekel, this means, right, the loyma, bottom piece of the sheet. Why would buy a yotzol of a zoyma with chain on the zoyma? Not only a more extreme type of zoyma, where one doesn't have sufficient parnasa in the place where one is, and one leaves to go and make basic parnasa, the yotzol lakta after the acham of the noyzol, the vavai shari. That certainly is permitted. And I feel the yotzol laharvia. The term laharvia implies leaving to make added profit. In other words, one's not sufficient for one's talking, but this is one's business. I would like to make more business. Kedarik shalona. Time is shineshla in the pasim harvi. The yotzol kedar laharvia noyzo. I feel the hockey shari. That too is permitted. If any type of legitimate pirate is committed. Let's just look at two other examples. I won't read them inside, but two other things I put on the sheet on the second side, which are also examples of pirate. Well, we'll see how far the legitimate pirate go. One example, the Birke Yosef, discusses leaving Eretz Yisrael to daven at Kibrei Sanki in Chutz Lachaim.
So, you say there's extra profit that
we have to
pay for
the No. The Birke Yosef discusses this point of if one allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael simply for the purpose of davening at Kibrei Tzadikim. Somebody's got a cave of a particular tzadikim, some sort of way he'd like to daven there. So the Birke Yosef says, and we can understand this in the context of what we've seen, that any type of legitimate Torah, even if it's not, can't be tied down to a kilo of a particular mitzvah. We can't say maybe it's a mitzvah mamish to daven at Kibrei Tzadikim, but it's a nice thing. As we looked at it one thing in detail. It's a nice thing, even people like to do it. It's considered legitimate soil. And it is permitted. And one final point is in the Shubhas of Ravodni, as an even further Kiddush, he says, what happens if one, what about traveling to Chutzlaret for temporarily, for the purpose of seeing Pilei HaTeva, he calls it, the wonders of the world. Oh, he would like to see, he'd like to see the Alps, he'd like to see other beautiful parts of the world and see the Nifloit, Haboire. So even though we were at first, he was quite young, you want to go on vacation, don't you? But the Rebbe says that even that could perhaps be considered legitimate service. And anything with the right attitude, anything can be viewed as legitimate service, and even that too might also be included in Torah. He uses the word Torah lahapi hakol zeret mitzvah. One should turn all of the activities into mitzvah activities, and in that approach, basically we're not all left with much of a scenario where this issue would really apply. Only somebody who goes really for empty, for no purpose, for no good purpose, so stunned that might be, might be,
you can
fool
yourself.
Okay, so one has to know.